of announcements this morning. Forgot to announce that she's speaking tomorrow night at the women's group. So you ought to come. Y'all ought to come in Jesus' name. Yeah. She's giving me instructions because her mom's not here. It's going to be good. God's been downloading on her. Glory to God. Father, we come before you and Lord, I'm humbled in your presence and I just want to give you glory and honor and praise, Lord. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so good. We love you. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 25, and as you're turning there, I just want to bring this to your attention. This week I was reading again in 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel it talks about how that Eli had a couple of sons and his sons were supposed to be the priest in the house and they were doing all kinds of stuff messing up, right? In fact, it got him killed. And then Phinehas, which was one of the sons, his wife was pregnant. And when the baby was born, she named it Ichabod. She named it Ichabod because the glory had left the house. You know how many times I've said, Lord, never let your glory leave the house. I covet the presence of God. And I covet it because it's what we were born for. When we were born again, we were born for the glory of God. We were born to live in the house of God. We were born. Right? Glory to God. We let so many things get in our way. So many things divide us. I have to say this as your pastor, that there's going to be more and more and more and more confrontation coming to the body of Christ. We're living in a day when we are going to be vilified. But you have to stand. I faced something just a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, with my own family, it was right in my face. And not that I have to prove myself or anything like that, because I refuse to do that. But I thought, Lord, if it costs me everything, I'll stand. Because where am I going to go from your glory? Where can I go from your love? Where can I go, Lord? There's no place. It's like Peter said when everybody left him and Jesus turned to his disciples and said, look at, aren't you guys going to flee too? And what Peter said, and this is my paraphrase, it says, we've been with you, where else is there? You see, there's some that had hung around him, but there's others that had been with him. The true church that's going to be able to stand are the ones that are with them. Come on. Not the ones that hang around, but the ones that are with them. Glory to God. Glory to God. Last week I talked about stewardship and ownership, and I feel compelled to carry on with that a little bit. Remember, if Jesus is Lord of your life, then He owns your life. I'll say it over here. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then He owns your life. Right? And if He owns your life, then you don't have a right to deny His leadership. You don't have a right to stand outside. Lord, I don't think this is right. I don't think this is the way that we should go. I don't think it's like, no, Lord. No, Lord. It's your way. One of the ways that we know that the Lord is Lord of our lives is that we put His Word as the final authority in our life. If you said it, Lord, I'm going to stand on it. How many know that today to stand on the written Word of God, and I mean from Genesis to Revelation, to stand on that, you might get attacked. You will definitely be called a hater. But the reality is that's just deception, because the God who is love wrote this book. Right? And He knows what's best. Hallelujah. In Matthew 25, we're going to start reading in verse 14. Thank you for your word, Lord. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." And I'm just going to stop there and just give you a little teaser. Jesus went to heaven, but then He called upon His servants, that's you and I, His disciples, to do something. I'll just stop right there and we'll keep reading. Verse 15. "Now to one He gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord whose servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received 10 talents came and brought the 5 and brought the 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them.' The Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Now, it doesn't say enter into the joy of the Lord. It says, enter into the joy of your Lord. What does that mean? God was rejoicing over His child. Right? So come on in. Come on into my rejoicing. Verse 22, he said, "When he who had received 2 talents came, and, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in to the joy of your Lord.'" Woo! "But he who had received 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather what I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited the money in a bank, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But he who does not have, everything will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" God has given all of us something. We're going to discuss that in a little bit. But the moral of the story is, what are you doing with what He gave you? What He gave you is different than He gave me. And mine is not better than yours, and yours is not better than mine. Listen, even to these servants, He gave them each something. But He didn't say, the one with 5 talents is the greatest. The one with 2 is a, you know, not quite as good, but he's okay. And with the 1, you know, I mean, you got to give him something. No, His heart was to give them each something so that they could do something with it. That's right. And the Lord wants you to know this morning that He's given you something. The question remains, and it remains with me and with you, what are we doing with what He's given us? And you might say, well, I don't know what He's given me. I mean, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't... If you stood before the Lord and said, well, Lord, if I would have only been a preacher, then I could have done something for You. If I could only been a singer, then, Lord, I would have done something for You. Lord, if I'd have only given me this or that, He's going to say, what are you talking about? Right? I've given you something and you buried it in the ground and did nothing with it and made all kinds of excuses and they don't fly with me. Right? So let's talk a little bit about what He's given us. What have we received? And every one of us have received this. If Jesus is Lord of your life, then He's given you certain things that all of us have. But we have to walk in the light of it. First thing He's given us is His name. I have the name of Jesus. I can operate in the name of Jesus. I am a child of God because the blood of Jesus cleansed me of my sin and I was able to become born again, not because I'm anything, but because He's everything. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Glory to God. Now, I'm not here to put anybody under condemnation, but what I am here to do is to wake us back up if we've been sleeping. And wake us back up if we have the feeling that we're under something. Right? Well, you know, this world's very oppressive and you know what they're saying. And Lord, I don't know if I can live for You or not. If you're feeling that, you don't remember who you are. You don't remember who you belong to. If you're under the weight of stress, let me just say this. If you're under the weight of stress, then you don't understand who you are and what's been given to you. And God's not going to be sympathetic with you. Let me just say it this way. When my kids were small, we did everything for them. In fact, when they were babies, we even fed them, right? What a day came when the baby could hold the little thing and put, even though it was messy, they could put it to their mouth. But we still prepared it. But they got a little bit older and we started letting them help us prepare. And sometimes that was more work than not. But pretty soon they got to the point where we didn't have to say, they didn't have to come and say, Mommy, I want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We said, go make it yourself. I've given you the bread, I've given you the peanut butter, I've given you the knife, I've given you the fork. You go do it. Some of us are still children. God, do this for me, do that for me, do this for me, do that. Lord, I even need You to rebuke the devil for me. And He said, grow up. Grow up. Because I've already given you the tools to do it with. You know, if the devil's knocking on your door, don't answer it. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he says this. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The word power there could literally be say authority. Behold, you're with me, you're my disciples, and because you're my disciples and what God has given to me, I give you now the authority to trample. Now, how would this have been? Imagine this. So they go out running off. Peter and John, they just go running off. And they come across this demon-possessed person. And they go, just a minute. And they run back to where Jesus was and say, Jesus, we got this demon person. You need to come. He'd have slapped him. Maybe not slapped him. I might have slapped him. He might not have slapped him. But he would have rebuked them. What did I say? Behold, I give you authority. This morning, he's saying to you, behold, I give you some authority here on the earth, but are you using it? Are you using the talent, the authority that I've given you, or are you not? You see, authority sometimes has to be demonstrative. What do I mean? You have to sometimes get mad at the thing that's oppressing you and declare to it that you no longer will sit under its rule anymore or reign. Smith Wigglesworth told this story, and I think it just applies. He said there was this woman, she was an older woman, and she was going to the train station or the bus or whatever to go about her business, and she had this little dog. And so she's walking along. Now, Timmy, I'm going to use that, I don't know what the name was. Timmy, you're going to have to go home. And she'd walk a little further, and the dog, Timmy, I said you need to go home. And she got to the bus stop and or the train station, and it finally came, and she turned around to Timmy, and she said, I said get! So where are we at with our authority? Are we just placating Timmy? Oh, Timmy, you should go home now. Oh, devil, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Devil, I'm just going to allow you to run over me if you want to. Or are we at the place, have we gotten mad enough? Have we gotten angry enough? Have we gotten to the place where it's finally time to do something about it and take the authority that He's given us and declare it to the heavens, declare it to the earth, declare it to ourselves, and tell ourselves that we're not under the oppression that the enemy is trying to hold on to us, because behold, I've given you authority. There's a time where, you know, young Christians can come and pastors and leaders can pray over them and God gives them grace over that. But there's a time where God wants you to grow up and take that authority for yourself. Right? He doesn't want the pastor making your peanut butter and jelly sandwich anymore. You go to the cupboard and find the peanut butter, find the jelly, find the bread, and put it to work for you. Behold, I give you power. There are some songs that have sung over the years, you know. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. And I get the sentiment of that, but sometimes I think it's nothing more than saying, I can't wait to get out of here. And you know what God said? I want you to occupy until I come. I want you to occupy until I come. I'm not saying go out there, be arrogant and all of that, but what I'm saying in your heart, you should say, here I am. Devil, you're not running me off. When they start to persecute, you say, well, that's fine. You do what you need to do, but I know that my God is with me and He'll stand behind His Word, and I believe His Word, and I will not allow myself to be taken out because I've been given authority. Now, I like the wording here. He says again, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing. Nothing. So when we face something, we've got to face it with the authority that we're taking on, right? Right. All of us have got troubles, right? All of us have got things going on in our lives. All of us have made stupid mistakes that we're paying the price for, right? All of us. But what are we doing? Are we, woe is me. God can't use me now because I made a mistake. You need to tell yourself, wait a minute. My Redeemer lives. And if He redeems me, then I'm redeemed. It's not by what I did, but it's by what He did. I'm under the authority of the Redeemer, and He's passed that authority on to me. And so with my lips and my life and my actions, I'm going to start using the authority that He's placed inside of me, because the kingdom of God is going to be demonstrated in my life. In Jesus' name. I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to run in terror. I refuse to back down. Hallelujah. I just determined today, you know, a couple of years ago with the COVID thing, we all shut down for a while and, you know, we're trying to be mindful of everything. But I've determined I'll never do that again. I said I'll never, ever, 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 ever do that again. And you say, well, what if they close this building? I'll set up something. We'll come to your house. We'll have house churches all over the place and just go from place to place to place. But we will meet, because the enemy wants us to be divided, but God has put us together. And so no more of that in Jesus' name, right? It's time for us to stand up in the authority that He's given us. And again, not to be belligerent, not to be rude, not to be mean, but in Jesus' name, I've got to take a stand. Right? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You are a steward of God's grace. You are a steward of God's power. You are a steward of what He's called you to do. In Mark chapter 16, now listen to this wording. You all know, you've all heard it a million times probably, if you've been saved very long. I was going to start in verse 15, but I can't. I got to go to verse 14. Listen to this. In light of what I'm saying. Verse 14 says, "Later He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He'd been risen." He rebuked their unbelief. In other words, God had showed up and He showed Himself, and He gave every one of them the promise that in 3 days I'll rise again. What has God promised us? We talk about the things that He's promised to us, but we're still standing in fear that we won't have them. Instead of standing in the authority that He's given us, we're not demanding God of anything, but we're demanding that the devil give up what God has promised. Are you with me? We need to take authority. Now look at verse 15. "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" That has not been rescinded. That's your commission. That's my commission. It would be very hard and difficult to do if we didn't have the authority and the power backing us up to do it. David said it this way. He said, "Lord, I'll open my mouth, but You got to fill it." And you know what he did? And He will for you too. Right? He will. He does. I'm supposed to go preach the gospel. My command is to tell of the story. But it's not my job to get the results. My job is just to share what He puts on my heart. Now listen to what He says. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Right? I give the word out, you take it or leave it. That's between you and God. My job is to present it, but to present it with authority and not with a milquetoast, I hope you get saved. We're not trying to win an argument with anybody. We're just trying to present the truth. Right? Present the truth. There's a lot of people, you might think everybody's heard the gospel, but there's a lot of people who've never heard the gospel. They've never heard it preached with the power that's behind it. But look out, we're coming. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You know, this taking up the serpents, we're not bringing snakes to church. That's not necessarily what it's talking about. You might have been in a church that handles snakes. That's not going to happen here. But here's what I know. If God sends me to Africa, if God sends me to Guatemala, if God sends me somewhere where there's something deadly, I refuse to be afraid of going because of what could happen. That even in the midst of my going, God will protect me. Right? Why? Because I know the authority. Again, the authority that's been delegated to me. In Matthew, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. And then he turned and he said, go ye therefore. In other words, here it is. I'm passing it to you. To who? To me. To you. Right? All authority. Authority means delegated power. It's mine. It's mine. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I've got to be honest with you that there have been days when I've got so caught up into the life and struggles and things that are going on that I forgot to put on my authority. I quit facing my life with the authority that He's given to me. In other words, fear has no place in me, but I've got to stand up in the face of fear and talk to fear. I've got to tell fear, no, you don't belong to me. I've got to talk to you right now because of He said in Philippians chapter 4 to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Listen to me, stress. I'm taking my authority over you based on a promise that I've received, and He's given me His authority to stand. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says this, nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. Nor give place to the devil. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. So whenever you're feeling like that, don't give place to it. Don't allow it. Don't talk about it. Don't talk the problem. Start talking the answer. We spend more time talking about the devil's authority over us than we do God's authority over us. And it's time for us to turn that back around. Because we need to be the stewards of the authority that God's given to us. To me and to you. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say go to your pastor so he can resist the devil for you. Because he's anointed, you know, and he's got angels about him, you know, and if he resists him for you, then the devil will leave from you. No, it says you resist the devil. Why? Because I've given you the authority to do it. And if you'll stand up in it, he will flee. And the flee means to run as in terror from you. But are we being stewards of the authority that God's given us, or are we just allowing life to happen to us? Romans chapter 5. I'm tired of the devil running over me, running over my family. If there's something wrong, something outside of the way I feel like God wants it in my life, I need to start seeking God and say, okay, God, hallelujah. There's times to fast and to pray and say, Lord, something's off here and I know it's not you. Can we all say that? God's not your problem. God, don't blame God for anything. Don't say, why God? Oh God, if you had only done such and such. Let me give you a clue. God has done everything He's going to do. It's already done. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus gave us authority over the enemy. Jesus gave us the power to get wealth. Jesus' stripes were healed. Come on. All of that has already been done. Well, why is it it happened to me? I'm just the low man on the totem pole. Maybe it's because you took the treasure and buried it instead of proclaiming it and begin to spread it around and believe that when you pray for somebody, something is going to happen. When you lay hands on somebody, something is going to change because the power that's in you is delegated to you at the time of your birth. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. We could read the whole thing, but let's go to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, that means when Adam blew it, the rest of us, for the rest of our days until God makes it all new, we're suffering because of that one man's sin. And we were separated from God because of his sin and our actions to it. But look at it again. For by one man's offense, death reigned through one. Much more. Everybody say much more. I like much more. I don't like, well, at the same level. That would be okay, but he said much more. Much more. The effects that happened because of Adam's sin, what Jesus did caused much more. Now listen to what this much more does. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Anybody in here received abundance of grace? Come on, anybody in here? I mean, you know, you didn't deserve what God gave you. You didn't deserve how He reacted. Come on, you didn't deserve that, but He gave it to you anyway. Right? Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. He who knew no sin took on my sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The great exchange is that I was crucified for Him, but I'm now living for Him. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm standing in that righteousness. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will. Everybody say will. Doesn't say they might. Doesn't say, well, God's going, well, I like this one, they'll reign. I don't like that one, they're not going to reign. Listen, that one's a preacher, so he's going to reign more than that one that's you know, I've called to help and do things that nobody sees. No, it said, they will reign. Who? Those who receive abundance and grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. This is not in the sweet by and by. This is supposed to be our life right now. And maybe we're not reigning because we haven't been walking in the authority that God has given us. Now watch this. I need to be a steward of that authority. Now here's the deal. If you're tying your reigning in life on how other people are reacting to you, they will pull you away from the reigning into the defeat. But when you start to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what she did, what they did, what my brother said, what my cousin said, what my nephew said, even what my husband said or my wife said or my kids said, it doesn't matter. That, I mean, I'm praying for them and I believe they're going to get their heads on straight at some point. But their doubt and their unbelief is not going to affect me any longer because I'm not created to just get through life. I'm created to reign in life through Christ Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. So are we going to be a steward of the authority that God's given us? That's the answer. That's the question this morning. Are you going to stand up in who you are in Christ Jesus and begin to proclaim with your mouth what God has said rather than receiving into your heart what the enemy's saying to you? Listen, the devil cannot take your joy unless you give it to him. Let me say this again. The devil cannot take your joy unless you give it to him. Well, you don't understand my circumstances. The devil cannot take your joy unless... You don't know who I live with. The devil cannot take your joy unless you give it to him. But you don't understand what I'm going through. The devil cannot take your joy. Now watch this. This is so cool. This is so... And I am closing. I promise. But watch this. The moment that I stand up in my authority and I say, Lord, you've delegated to me power. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm resisting the devil and that sucker is fleeing from me. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You know what you just entered? You entered into His joy. Woo! I like that boy. I like that girl. She's standing up. She's doing what I called her to do. Look at that. Look at that. Look, I see her. She's in the midst of a place where nobody is supporting her, but she's standing on her own. She's proclaiming my word. Glory to God. She makes me happy. Woo! Entering into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want. I want for you this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, forgive us if we've not been the stewards of what you've given to us as we should. But we found out something this morning, Lord, out of your word. And so we're going to stand up, Lord. We're going to start proclaiming your word. We're going to start singing these songs like we mean them, Lord. We're going to begin to take action against what the enemy is put into our hearts, and we're going to say, Lord, not someday, or I wish it would happen, or wouldn't it be nice if it did happen. We're going to start standing in faith, declaring, God, that what You promised, You will deliver for us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You're my shepherd, and I shall not walk in fear. I shall not be in want. You take good care of me, Lord. Every need that I have is met in Jesus' name. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about the stock market. I'm not worried about what the enemy is going to do with this world. Lord, even if You have to bring ravens, You'll do it. So, Lord, I'm just going to praise You and honor You and thank You and worship You right now. And if the devil comes to me, I'm just going to say, in Jesus' name, You're under my feet. You're under my feet. I refuse to be anything but victorious in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. We will reign or walk in victory in this life in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I thank You for all that are watching online. I thank You, Lord. There's no distance in the Spirit. I ask You to touch them right now. I ask You to be with them right now. I ask You to bless them right now. If you've never been saved, give Jesus your heart. And if you're wondering whether He's Lord or not, well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have enough guts to get on your knees and say, Jesus, if You're real, Father, if Jesus is my Lord and Savior, show me. And if You show me, I'll answer. If you do that, He'll be your deliverer. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen.